looking at the subject of faith, and looking in particular at men and women of faith, as found in a famous chapter in the second half of the Bible, the part of the Bible called Hebrews, and it's chapter 11, and we're looking at the different individuals. We come today to the story of the man called Moses, who was a great hero in the earlier days. Now our reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29 in the Pew Bible, if you've got it in front of you, page 1210. And Anne is going to read to us now.
By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Thanks be to God for his word.
The week before last, I attended a minister's conference in the centre of Glasgow, and along with 450 others, I got kind of hungry about 12:45. And as we stopped for the break, the person next to me said, "Where do we go for lunch?" I said, "Well, we go up to the church halls in Bath Street." And we went up there, and when we arrived, he said, "How do you get in?" And I said, "Well, you show them the ticket." And he said, "What ticket?" I said, "The ticket you were given when you registered." "Registered," he said. And then he recalled it and fumbled amongst his papers and found a brown envelope which contained 5 tickets. And he pulled one out and said, "Well, this day." And I said, "No, that's your ticket for the seminar this afternoon. The only ticket that can get you in is a red lunch ticket." And that was true for the little man at the door, wasn't for turning. And even though you gave him a yellow ticket or a purple ticket or a green ticket or a blue ticket, he wouldn't let you in. The only way in was a red Tuesday lunch ticket. How do you get in? How do you get in to God's lunch hall? The kingdom of heaven. Well, by having a ticket and showing your ticket. And the Bible says that the only ticket that will get you in is what it calls faith. This writer to the Hebrews has already underlined the importance of it at the beginning of this famous chapter. When he describes men and women of faith, he says right at the beginning of the chapter in verse 6, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." That's to say, if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you need this ticket, faith. So faith, according to the Bible, is obviously something very valuable. I once had a valuable ticket. At least it was very valuable to me. It was a ticket for the first time I went to Wembley. The only time I've been to Wembley. Scotland versus England, 1956. There was a small boy then, young in age. You're not quite so young if you do your sums. But I had this ticket, and it was the most valuable thing I think I'd ever had in my life. And in the few days before the match in London, I took this ticket out and I looked at it and I read it and I kept it and guarded it and placed it in a safe location. I was so excited with this valuable ticket. In fact, on the morning of the match, I was literally sick with excitement. On the evening after the match, I was just seek, with the result, as you may guess. But the only way into Wembley that day was that ticket. Very valuable. To me, in the Bible says, the most valuable thing in the whole universe that you will ever possess is faith in Christ. It gets you into the kingdom. The story of Moses illustrates how important faith is. The story of Moses tells us three things that I want to highlight this morning very briefly. First of all, how do you begin the Christian life? Secondly, how do you continue the Christian life? Thirdly, how do you face death in the Christian life? Let's look at these quickly over the next 15 minutes or so. How do you begin the Christian life? The answer, of course, is by faith. The writer to the Hebrews uses Moses as an example as he tells about the start of Moses' story in verse 23. Notice, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Well, the story way back at the beginning of the Bible tells us that Moses' history begins really with his parents. And apparently, by faith, the parents hid the new baby boy for 3 months. Because if the baby boy had been seen and found, he would have been thrown into the River Nile. Because according to a new law of Parliament, agreed and signed by the Pharaoh of Egypt, baby girls could live, baby boys had to be drowned. And that's why they hid him for 3 months. But after Moses' mother could hide him no longer, she put him into, well, I suppose, a Moses basket. And she made it watertight and floated it on the water by the banks of the River Nile amongst the reeds. And this little baby floated in the Moses basket on the Nile, and the rest, as they say, is history. And we read here that Moses' parents saw that he was no ordinary child. You know, that description is given 3 times in the Bible concerning Moses. In one of the versions, the term is translated beautiful. So Moses' parents saw that he was beautiful, and no doubt said that he was beautiful. But they would, wouldn't they? That's what parents do about their new babies. Ewan and Lee will see and say that Tom is beautiful. And he is. Parents do that kind of thing with their children. Grandparents do it as well with their children. I had my little granddaughter dangling on my knee on Friday, and I thought she was absolutely beautiful. And I made her promise at 7 months that she would look after her grandfather in his dotage. And she said she would. At least I think she did. Of course parents think their babies are beautiful. Grandparents, their grandchildren. But that's not the point and meaning of this phrase that's used in verse 23. We've got to go to other parts of the Bible to find out what it means. For example, if you go to a part of the Bible called Acts chapter 7 verse 20, you find a man called Stephen retelling the story of Moses. And he uses exactly the same Greek word here. And we find out that it literally means Moses was fair in the sight of God. That's to say, Moses' parents saw in their new baby boy something that told them that he was going to be a man of God. And you say, well, how did they see that? And the answer is by faith. And you say, well, how did they know that by faith? And the answer must be God told them. In some way, God must have revealed it to them. And somehow he must have given them this inkling, given them this knowledge as a gift. And this is the point. Faith at the beginning is a gift. We begin the Christian life by faith, and faith is a gift of God. And we have to receive faith as a gift. And you know, it does seem to me that infant baptism illustrates this Bible truth very clearly. Ewan and Lee, like Mr. and Mrs. Moses Senior, believe in the Lord. They have prayed to the Lord about Tom. They have made commitments to the Lord concerning him. They will be taking risks in the sense that they will be prepared to do without things so that Tom will be brought up with a Christian upbringing and a Christian education. They are resolving that the church family will be Tom's extended family as they ask God for faith for Tom in the years to come. And baptism is a sign that faith is a gift. Here's an engagement ring. When a lad gets engaged to a girl, he gives her a ring, and the ring is a gift of a sign, and the sign is showing that he gives her his love and one day will give him her himself. Puts the ring on her. And baptism is like God putting an engagement ring around the child and saying that he intends to give faith to this little one as he grows up, as long as faith is asked for from God. And that's the point. Baptism with a helpless babe is an illustration of what happens with every adult convert to Christ. You see, we don't come to faith with our own efforts. Christian faith is never the outcome of a so-called Sinatra syndrome. It's never a question of me saying, well, I did it my way. We've got to do it God's way. And God's way, apparently, is by way of gift. Except, said Jesus, you become like little children, helpless and needing somebody to give, God to give faith. That's how it happens. That's God's way. It's never a question of us working it out for ourselves. God insists that we humble ourselves as adults and admit that we're helpless and go to him and say, I want faith. Please, can you give it to me? The Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How do you begin the Christian life? By receiving faith as a gift. Secondly, how do you continue the Christian life? And the answer that's given in verses 24 and 27 is, of course, by faith. The story of Moses continues in the Old Testament from the point when he was floating in the River Nile. And as many of you know, of course, he was rescued by the daughter of Pharaoh, and he was brought in to live in the court of Pharaoh. And so Moses could have had all the treasures and pleasures of Pharaoh's court for the rest of his days. But he didn't. He left the palace of Pharaoh and joined up with his fellow Hebrews, the despised and oppressed Israelites. And he resolved to become a leader of these Israelites and so face the Pharaoh with a confrontation and ask that all the people could leave and go out to the promised land. Now the question is this. How was it that Moses could make and take these momentous, life-changing steps? The only conceivable answer is by faith. By faith he made these decisions and these choices. He had to put his faith into action and do things. You see, we receive faith as a gift right at the beginning, but we've got to use faith. We've got to use it actively. There's not such a thing as an instant finished Christian article. The other Saturday, a week ago, yesterday evening, I went up to my study to work, my new study, of banished and downstairs with a computer. I'm now outside and upstairs. What am I? I'm upstairs, looking outside. That's what I'm doing. Upstairs, looking out. And last Saturday evening was a glorious evening. And I looked over the fields and the hills to the ranges in the distance, which led to Ben Lomond, and in front, down below, there's a tractor going up and down the field with a baling machine behind. And I watched it going up and down the line of cut grass. And I thought it was marvelous. It just went up and down the lines of grass, and the grass was sucked into the baling machine, and every 20 or 30 yards out popped an instant bale. Completed and finished, nothing more to be done to it, apart from feeding it to the cattle in the autumn and winter. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be marvelous if we had some kind of Christian machinery or Christian experience? And you go into it and out you pop an instant, complete, finished article Christian. That would be great, wouldn't it? But that's not the way of it at all. Once you receive Jesus Christ by faith as a gift, and it is a gift, you've got to use that faith and activate that faith. The choices and decisions, look at the active verbs that are used concerning Moses here in these verses. He refused, he chose, he regarded, he left, he persevered. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning who said, well, I tried the Christian faith and it didn't work for me. I started it off, but it folded up. It didn't work. I wonder if it didn't work because you didn't see that faith, having been a gift, has to be worked at. God works in us so that we can work out what he's worked in. That's what the Bible says. And we work it out as we make active, conscious, ongoing decisions and choices of faith. And like Moses, the choices are essentially two. On the first hand, saying no to the treasures of Egypt and the pleasures of Egypt and the sins of Egypt, and saying yes to God and his people, even though it means denial and having to do without things and deprivation of some kind. Wednesday night, 50 of us through in the hall there listened to two young people, Simon and Heloise. Heloise Hogarth, it was, brought up in this congregation. And we listened to these two young people standing up at the front and saying they believed that God was calling them to leave their comfortable homes in the world, to leave their good jobs, to leave their lovely friends and their loving families, and to go out and live in Estonia, and to go to a nowhere town and a nowhere house, which at the moment is just wallpapered with newspapers, and to go to non-entities of people who are disregarded by many, and to bring them the love of Jesus Christ. Now I ask you this question. How could it be that two people in the prime of their lives, with all their strength and energy and life before them, could make such a crazy decision on the human level? How could he do that? And the only answer to that is by faith. Like Moses, they see things which are invisible and believe nothing is impossible. Verse 27. So they go out. Now we continue the Christian life as we activate faith, as we make choices and decisions of faith continually and constantly. The choice essentially is of God, the gospel, others, and heaven. Never pleasures and treasures and sin and Egypt, but always God, gospel, others, and heaven. How do we continue the Christian life? By persevering in faith, choices, and decisions. And thirdly, how do we face death in the Christian life? The answer to that question, of course, is the same one. By faith. That's the meaning of verse 28. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. What's all that about? Well, it's about this. In the story of Moses, the final confrontation between Moses and Pharaoh was concerning the 10th plague. And the 10th plague was the threatened death of the firstborn of every family in the land, in order to make that wicked king see sense. And that was to affect everybody, including the Israelites. And the question, how were the believing Israelites to face this threatened death? And the answer in the story is that they took the blood of the Passover lamb and they sprinkled it over the doorposts of their house. And when the angel of death came in and saw the blood on the houses of the believing Israelites, then the angel passed over the house and the household was saved by faith. And that's a classic illustration, of course, of how it is that the Christian believer faces death and judgment to come. And the answer to that is the same, by faith. By faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary for our sins to give us safety on judgment day. See, according to the Bible, to die by faith is as important as to live by faith. And I'm dealing now with one of the great taboos of this society. We don't talk about death. In the Victorian ages, the taboo was sex. Nobody talked about that, but everybody talked about death. It's a complete reversal today. Everybody talks about sex, but nobody talks about death. But that's a foolish thing to do because we're all going to die sooner or later. We have no guarantees in life. We know not what a day may bring forth. I've been thinking in these last few days about the managing director of Stirling's in Tillicoultry. 42 years of age, in the prime of his life, seemingly in perfect health. All the pleasures that money could buy, yachts and cars and houses. A nice fellow, apparently. A friend of sports presenter Dougie Donnelly, and then on Tuesday in Mallorca, he was suddenly ushered into the presence of his Maker. You know, faith is not regarded very highly today. Faith is just regarded as a kind of hobby or interest, like stamp collecting or fly fishing. If you like that kind of thing, go in for it. All the best. But on that day, on the day of death, on the day of judgment, faith will be seen to be the most valuable asset in the whole of the universe. For with it you have endless bliss with God, without it you have endless misery without God. And the good news of the gospel is that today anyone and everyone who wants faith may go to God and ask for it. May turn from a futile way of living and plead with God and inquire with God. Because the Bible says this, those who ask, receive, those who seek, find, and to those who knock, the door shall be opened. In preparing this message this morning, I reckon there were at least four categories of people in our congregation. Those who have no faith and say that. Those who want faith and wish for it. Thirdly, those who have some kind of faith but are not sure it's the right thing. And fourthly, those who have real faith and are rejoicing in it. I want to speak then to those in the first three categories. The gospel is marvelously open to anyone. Ask, seek, knock, and it will be given to you. If you want faith, God will give it. But you've got to go where He is. You've got to hear what He says. You've got to be with His people. And you've got to take it in. And continue asking and seeking and knocking. And as you ask and seek and knock, God, in the person of His Son Jesus Christ, promises and pledges and covenants that He will give it. He will give it. There is nobody who has ever asked and sought and knocked who has never received it in the history of the human race. As a minister of the gospel, I place my life on that statement. If you want it and seek it in the way that God has laid down it is to be,
you will find it. And it's the most precious thing in all of life.
You may have everything you feel you need, but if you don't have faith, in the end of the day, you've
really got nothing.
So I plead with you today, on this day of opportunity, here is the word of the Lord. Have faith in God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Ask, seek, and knock, and it shall be given to you. Pray to God.
We bow in your living presence, O God. Thank you that you know us and understand us, all our reservations and doubts and fears. We thank you that you have made perfect provision for us in the sending of your Son, the sending of your Word, the Bible, and the sending of your Holy Spirit to make these things real. And as we bow in your holy presence now, we come to worship you for the gift of faith that you donate to those who wait upon you. And I pray that this word that's been given this morning, Heavenly Father, will not return up to heaven empty, but will achieve something in someone's heart here this morning. And I ask that in faith, in the name that's above every other name, the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.